All right, strap in, folks, because today we're diving into a case that'll make you look at your pets a little differently. We're talking Houseman v. Dare, a story about a couple, a breakup, and a dog named Dexter that ended up in, well, kind of a surprising legal battle.
Yeah, this one really gets you thinking, like, are pets just property or are they something more? It's a question that I think anyone who's ever loved a pet, you know, connects with on a gut level.
Right, and it's not just any dog we're talking about here. Dexter was, get this, a pedigree pup with a $1,500 price tag. So was this whole thing really about the money, or is there like a deeper emotional element we need to unpack?
Well, the price definitely comes into play, but it's just the tip of the iceberg, legally speaking. What makes this case so interesting is the whole concept of specific performance. Now, usually this applies to unique items, you know, like a rare painting or something, things you can't just replace with cash. But in Houseman v. Dare, the argument was that this should apply to a pet, too.
Okay, yeah, I see where this is going, and I'm already hooked. So let's break down what actually happened in this case.
Okay, so we've got Doreen Houseman and Eric Dare, a couple who were together for 13 years. They buy a house, get Dexter, and then bam, in 2006, they split up. Houseman claimed there was a verbal agreement that she'd get Dexter and half the house value. So she moves out, takes Dexter, but lets Dare have visits. Then in 2007, things get, well, complicated. Houseman goes on vacation, leaves Dexter with Dare, but when she gets back, Dare refuses to give Dexter back.
Oh man, that's gotta be rough. So what did the court say about all this?
Well, the initial trial court, they kept it pretty straightforward. Basically, they said pets are property, their value is, you know, just monetary. So they awarded Houseman the dog's value, which was set at $1,500. And said Dare gets to keep Dexter.
Hold on, so they just treated Dexter like a, I don't know, a lamp or something. That seems kind of cold, you know, given the bond people have with their pets.
Exactly, and that's why Houseman appealed. She argued that Dexter had, you know, sentimental value that goes way beyond just dollars and cents. And here's where it gets interesting. The appellate court actually agreed with her and overturned the initial ruling.
Wow, really? So they're saying that a pet can have a deeper meaning than just its market price.
Absolutely. And to back this up, they cited some pretty important cases. First, they looked at Cohen v. Roche, which brought in this whole idea of specific performance, saying it wasn't limited to just one-of-a-kind items.
So basically they were saying that even though you could, I guess, technically put a price on Dexter, that doesn't capture the full picture of his value to Houseman.
Exactly. And then they brought up Campbell v. Robinson, which, you know, establishes this legal concept of sentimental value and how it can actually outweigh pure market price. Like, think about a family heirloom, right? Might not be worth much money, but its emotional significance is huge. And the court applied that same thinking to Dexter.
Okay, but doesn't this open up a whole can of worms? Like, couldn't anyone just claim that anything has some special meaning to them and try to sue to get it back? I mean, my old college sweatshirt might be priceless to me, but that doesn't mean I can sue someone if they borrow it and forget to give it back, right?
That's a great point, and the court was definitely aware of that potential slippery slope. So they put safeguards in place to prevent frivolous lawsuits. Basically, you have to show real evidence of a deep, pre-existing bond with the item. We're talking vet records, photos, witness testimony about your shared history, not just, oh, I kind of like that thing. And Heisman had built a strong case demonstrating her connection with Dexter.
So the court was trying to acknowledge this emotional value of a pet without letting every little squabble over belongings turn into a legal battle.
Yeah, they had to strike a balance, and that's why this case is so fascinating. It shows how the law is grappling with this, you know, complex way we view our relationship with animals these days. It's a big deal, and it could have a ripple effect on future cases.
My mind is officially blown. I'm starting to see Dexter not just as a dog, but as a legal pioneer, I guess you could say.
Right. And this is just the beginning. This case raises so many questions about how society views pets and how the law is evolving to reflect that. This case, you know, really makes you think about how our values as a society, how they can actually shape the way the law is interpreted.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Like, think about it.
Right.
Birthday parties for dogs, crazy Halloween costumes, even like entire vacations planned around our pets. It's like a whole thing.
It really is. And the pet industry, I mean, it's exploding. Yeah. Billions of dollars spent every year on everything from like fancy pet food to those high-tech toys.
Right, exactly. Okay, so we've seen how Houseman v. Dare kind of sets a precedent, but where do we go from here? Like, is this the beginning of, I don't know, pets being seen as more than just property in the eyes of the law?
Well, it's definitely a step in that direction, but legal systems, they don't change overnight. So while this case, you know, chips away at that old view of pets as property, it doesn't completely, like, dismantle it.
So we're not at a point where, like, my cat can sue me for emotional distress if I don't know, accidentally buy the wrong flavor of cat food.
I think we're safe from that for now. But, you know, some other countries are actually making progress in recognizing animals as, like, sentient beings with certain protections.
Oh, that's interesting. Could the U.S. go down that road? Would that mean, like, rewriting a ton of laws to account for animal rights?
It's possible. I mean, public opinion is changing, and that can definitely influence how the law develops. But remember, Houseman v. Dare is really focused on enforcing agreements, not on figuring out what's in the best interest of the pet, you know?
So it's not about saying, okay, who's the better pet parent? It's more about honoring whatever agreement the people had beforehand.
Right. It's not like pets suddenly have, you know, legal rights to speak for themselves. It's about emphasizing that people need to be clear and plan ahead when it comes to pet ownership, especially, you know, if they're not in a traditional family setup.
This is making me think, like, if specific performance can apply to pets, where does it end? Could this open the floodgates for lawsuits over anything with sentimental value? What about, like, grandma's teapot or a childhood teddy bear?
That's a really good question, and it goes to the heart of this whole debate, right? Like, where do we draw the line? If courts are acknowledging this deep emotional connection we have with our pets, could that same logic extend to, you know, other stuff we cherish?
Whoa, yeah. Now we're getting into, like, philosophical territory.
Mm.
How do you measure something like emotional value? It's all so subjective, right?
It's a tough one. Houseman v. Dare kind of opens up this Pandora's box without, you know, giving us a clear map for how to handle it. It forces us to really grapple with this idea of how we assign value to things that have deep personal meaning, even if they're not worth a lot of money.
Totally. It feels like this case is just the tip of the iceberg. Like, we're talking about how we view pets, but also maybe even our whole relationship to our belongings in general, you know?
Yeah, I think you're right. Houseman v. Dare is a big deal because it recognizes that sentimental value matters, but it also leaves us with a lot more questions than answers.
Okay, so is this a win for pet lovers, or are we about to get swamped with lawsuits over every little thing?
Well, maybe it's both. This case is a good reminder that the law isn't, you know, set in stone. It changes as our values change. What was settled yesterday could be totally different tomorrow.
Makes you think twice about those roommate agreements, right? Got to be specific about who gets the goldfish if things go south.
Definitely. This case really highlights the importance of being proactive. Whether you're, like, writing up an agreement or just talking things through with your partner, being clear is so important to avoid, you know, heartbreak and legal battles later on.
So, okay, where do we even go from here? Houseman v. Dare has, like, opened up this whole Pandora's box, and I don't even know if there are any easy answers.
You know, what's really fascinating about this case is it makes us think about, like, the limits of sentimental value. If courts are saying, yeah, it matters for a pet, where does that stop? Could this, you know, impact how we look at other things that have a deep personal history for us?
That's a crazy thought. I'm, like, looking around my apartment now, and everything seems like a potential lawsuit waiting to happen. Like, what about family heirlooms? Or, you know, old photos, letters, even, like, that beat-up teddy bear I've had since I was a kid.
Yeah.
I mean, those things might not be worth much money, but their value to me is, like, huge.
Exactly. And that's the core issue here. How do you even measure something that's basically priceless to the person who owns it? Like, how can the legal system, which is all about, you know, property and money, how can it deal with something as, like, fuzzy and subjective as emotional attachment?
It's like trying to fit a square peg in a round hole.
Right.
How do you put a price on a feeling?
Right. And Houseman v. Dare just throws this out there without really giving us a clear path forward. It's forcing us to, like, confront these big questions head on. We have to figure out how to recognize these emotional bonds that people form with things, but also, you know, prevent every disagreement over, like, a coffee mug from turning into a legal battle.
Yeah, we got to draw a line somewhere between, like, genuine emotional significance and just, you know, liking your stuff. Otherwise, the courts will be dealing with nothing but sentimental squabbles.
Exactly. So we need, like, clear rules and a nuanced approach as we move into this, you know, uncharted territory. Houseman v. Dare is a good starting point for a much bigger conversation about how we define value, not just in dollars, but in, like, the emotional connections we make with the things in our lives. It's about empathy and understanding as we try to figure out, you know, where law and feelings intersect.
This whole deep dive has been, well, a deep dive for sure. We went from talking about a dog to questioning, like, the foundations of property law and how humans relate to animals.
It's amazing how a case that seems, you know, kind of ordinary can lead to these really profound questions. Houseman v. Dare reminds us that the law isn't static, you know? It's always changing, adapting to how we see the world. And as we move forward, we got to be open-minded and willing to really, you know, think things through.
Well said. And on that note, I leave our listeners with this. The next time you're holding something you care about, whether it's a pet or, you know, something from your past, take a minute to think about what makes it valuable to you. Is it the money, the memories, or something even, you know, deeper, something to think about? And until next time, happy diving.